Grimlord here, and this is Grimm's Visual Novel Corner. We've got Fatal 12. I know you guys have been waiting, and I've got it for you. So let's just go ahead and get started. So you are telling the truth. That's it? That's all you've got to say to her? My only concern is obtaining the cards I need. All I feel after hearing her story is my joy from having obtained them. My fear is a place with sheer rage. She's trampling all over her life for its own sake. Saying I feel nothing may not be the whole truth, but remember this. No matter what you say or think about me, each and every one of us caught up in this little game must stamp down the lives of others for our own survival. That said, I like the determination in your eyes. They tell a story that mere words cannot express. A certain contradiction resides within you. You're likely aware of it, too. What are you talking about? The sound of footsteps rings out from the hallway the moment I ask. While not quite as prominent, I can also hear voices. Time's up. Wait! No. As he declines, he smashes a nearby switch. Then he turns the lights off. Then the lights turn off, blanketing the area in pure darkness because the hall lights are also out of commission. I rush to get the lights back on as quick as possible. He is long gone by the time I manage to do so. Rinka, are you okay? Naomi limps her way into the room. I don't know how he did it, but he seems to have knocked everyone unconscious without injuring them. She holds her broken glasses in one hand. I'm so sorry, Naomi. It's my fault you got caught up in something like this. Please don't apologize. I'm the one who chased after him. Hey. Keiko interrupts our conversation. Security will be here once they finish checking on all the nurses outside. Use this opportunity to get out of here. I'll think up a way to explain this to them. But... Besides, I'd like to spend a little more time with Haruki. Let's go, Naomi. She answers with a quick nod. Security makes their way to the nursery soon after, but we make sure to leave the hospital right away. After getting out, we head back to Lion House. The only thing we speak about on our return journey is about what happened in the nursery. Otherwise, we walk along in silence. Unsurprisingly, I've obtained the same cards as Numeral 12, though I no longer have any desire to eliminate her. There's something I want to say to Naomi. I'll take you to the station. It's a bit dangerous for you to go it alone with broken glasses. Right, thank you. I spend our journey to the station wondering if I have it in me to say what I want to hear, what I want to her. The longer I hold it in, the harder it'll be to say. That's why I need to say it now. It may feel like I'm making up excuses, but I reached my conclusion. I told you not to do anything dangerous, didn't I? Huh? Wait, that... Wait, that's not quite what I mean. I'm at fault for not realizing how dangerous things could get. I never once considered that a situation like that could occur so easily. I figured things might get dangerous, but I failed to see the full picture until tonight. You told me that you'd help me bear the burden, and for that I'm thankful. Just knowing you're willing to do that for me is enough. Everyone's putting their lives on the line here. There's no telling what sorts of things the other participants will try down the road either. That's why. I'll handle the rest on my own. So, you mean, I need to reaffirm her presumption. I really couldn't be happier over a decision to help me. It's done far more for me than she could ever imagine. But the more I rely on her, the more danger I'll be putting her in. That's why I forced myself to stay silent, otherwise I might renege on my statement. I understand. I made those bold claims about saving you, about protecting you, but all I managed to do was get in your way. That's not true at all. If you weren't there for me, then I don't know what I would have done. But still, I just don't want to put you in danger. It's okay. I see where you're coming from. I'm the one who broke my word to keep myself from danger. I'm sorry, and thank you. I'll be able to... I'm sorry and thank you. I'll be able to make it through this just knowing you're here for me. I can handle things on my own now. I try to guide her to the station after our talk. Don't worry, I'll be fine. I can make it home by myself. She makes her way to the station without me, and I can't bring myself to chase after her. I'm certain I'll start to rely on her again if I do. I really should have left our talk until we reached the station, but no, I'm too dumb to think that far ahead. If I had, then she wouldn't have to walk the streets at night all alone. When I wake up the next morning, I feel miserable. I didn't have any dreams last night. Well, I don't think I did anyway. There's no doubt they would have been nightmares if I had any. Maybe that's why I don't remember. Might as well get the store ready. Fortunately, I'm able to get the store up and running like normal, probably because work should keep my mind off everything else. Before long, it's afternoon. The number of customers dropped significantly after around this time thanks to the current lack of a proper food menu. Welcome. Oh. Table for one. Well, two. Is that okay? Kamabuchi Keiko arrives, her baby in her arms. I see no reason to turn them away, so I lead her to an empty table. She orders coffee, so I make sure to brew it like I always do. The last thing I want is to let any of my sadness or sympathy leak into it. This is delicious. She doesn't order anything for her baby, which isn't surprising. Not like we have anything that a baby could enjoy in the first place. Hey, mind if we have a little chat? She's the only customer at the moment, so I accept her offer. The truth is, I couldn't help but think how lovely your name was the moment I saw it on the card. That came out of nowhere. I've been meaning to tell you since we first met. I felt that your name didn't suit you once I saw you in that dream world, just a scared little child. I I was disappointed, in all honesty. Your name invokes a certain dignified image, and yet you are quite the opposite. That's kind of annoying to hear, but I can't really argue with it. I really must have looked helpless in the dream world. Anyway, you're completely different in person. The look in your eyes here is far more dignified than that of any other participant. Your words are filled with passion. You said yesterday that one's name almost represents their life. It reminded me of how my grandmother would always tell me not to be ashamed of my name. I never expected her to remind me of that. Sounds like a lovely grandmother. Do as she says. Treasure that name of yours. She finishes off her coffee along with that train of thought. Well, I have a request for you. A request? Yes, I'd like you to take this letter. I ask that you transcribe it for me, even though that sounds like a pain. Don't worry, folks. We will show the elimination. It's a letter I wrote to my husband and my child, but it'll disappear if I get eliminated tonight. I included the appropriate address and name inside, so just send it there. If I do get eliminated tonight, then it'll have been 3 weeks since I died come Monday, no? The birth certificate needs to be filed within 2 weeks after a baby's birth, so his name will likely have already been decided. Still, I'd like for them to understand my feelings on the matter. She avoids referring to Haruki by name for some reason. I can't claim to understand why, but I do recognize the reality that he won't have that name when he's eliminated. True. Are you giving up? I'm telling you, they may end up getting into a physical fisticuffs with numeral 12, and he's gonna do some shonen shit. How much you guys wanna bet? If we get that far, numeral 12 does some weird fucking shonen shit I'm talking about in the dream world. Like, he's gonna try to break shit right towards the end of it, because he will not lose. And I just have a feeling he will not lose. So he's gonna try some shonen shit, and he's actually gonna try to fight people in the dream world. I have a feeling that that's gonna happen. That this is gonna go into that, eventually, right towards the end. It's not gonna be like, no, I refuse to be eliminated kind of crap. I don't know. He might even try to attack Parka. Like, I don't trust 12. 12 seems like he's gonna do some fucking some villain shonen shit. Like, where the fuck is JoJo when you need him? Where is Joestar? Oh no, I can protect myself if I manage to learn all 3 pieces of info about numeral 12. I've been working on that for a while now, even though the results are hardly uplifting. Maybe I've half given up, but I'll still spend the rest of today doing all I can. Even so, I'm aware that it'll probably be a waste of time. And I don't want to hear a peep from you about helping me either. She's already a target. I wasn't planning to. He realized that we're cooperating if he found us, which means I'd be targeted as well.
私が脱落したら 恵子さんのお願い聞けませんから。
Besides, I fail to carry out your request if I get eliminated.
え、ありがとうね。
That's what I wanted to hear. Thank you. She reveals a satisfied smile before continuing.
お礼になるかわからないけれど、私が唯一突き止めた情報を教えるわ。
I'm not sure if this will make up for my actions, but I can tell you the one thing I did learn about him.
あの男の名前はアラン・スコーピオン。親から受け継いだ宝石会社をたった数年で世界規模の企業に持ち上げたインドの若き天才経営者だそうよ。
Okay, so we have a name. His name is Alan Scorpion. He is a young business entrepreneur from India, having turned his parents' jewelry company into a global business just a few years after inheriting it.
顔さえわかればすぐに見つかる情報。インターネットにも書いてあるしね。
Finding that out wasn't too hard since I know his face. There's plenty of info about him on the internet even.
偶然よ。雑誌に目を通していたら彼の写真が載っていたんだもの。選定が始まるずっと前に。
By coincidence, I happened to spot a photo of him while thumbing through a magazine, although I'm sure it was taken long before Divine Selection started. Alan Scorpion. So that's his name. Yes, that's all I can tell you, though, especially since my elimination is not set in stone.
あなたにお願いをしたとはいえ、あなたにかけてもいるわ。
There's also the fact that while I'm making this request of you, I'm also betting on you. There's no need for her to explain what she means. She's entrusted me with something important. I know exactly what that is, too.
それじゃあね。お願い。よろしくね。
All right, I should be going. I'm counting on you. And just like that, she leaves.All that remains behind is her letter. I don't feel any sort of pressure from having accepted it. In fact, shouldering her feelings has given me more hope than when I spent my time worrying about having to eliminate the other participants. I can understand what she wants precisely because we haven't spoken much. With dignity, I take a nice big stretch. I'm on my own from this day forward. The last thing I want to do is bring shame to my name.That's pretty fucking deep, folks. When I return to my room later that night, my book of cards starts to glow again. 12. Name, Alan Scorpion. To no surprise, it turns out to be his name card. Keiko said that you could find him easily on the internet, so I ran a quick search. Little did I expect this many results from a simple name search. This feels a bit too easy. Or so I think, but things get complicated very quickly.There's nothing on him from before he inherited the company at age 16, let alone anything related to how he might have died 3 weeks ago. No need to mention that his regret remains a complete mystery, too. Of course, those are the hardest to find out. But knowing his occupation, where he's from, and especially his name, is a big step forward. It may be worthwhile to head back to the library again and look through some newspapers and magazines. As for right now, I've got something more important to do, transcribing the letter from Keiko.Okay. Written on the paper are her thoughts and feelings towards her husband and child. She actually didn't write it as herself, but as one of her friends. That means it'll be far less painful for her husband to read compared to the one coming directly from her. Her writing is nice and tidy. Just reading it feels like I'm getting a glimpse at the sort of life she led. I involuntarily tear up when I come to her message of thanks to me at the very end of the letter. The regret of a mother who couldn't fulfill her duty.The letter never makes it explicit, but those feelings are definitely imbued in her words. I wonder, is a mother's love represented by her determination to live for her child's sake? That would make love the first thing a child receives. I'm sure their name comes after. And their name represents their life, so I'm sure Keiko wants to bestow such a meaning onto her own child.Families work in myriad ways, but Keiko really is attached to the feelings behind one's name. That's why it's ended up being her regret. I recall what she said about my name this afternoon. That's the one and only thing, other than my life, that I received from my mother, according to my gran. In which case, she must have also passed on her determination and love when I was born. I wonder if I'll ever be able to pour that same love into another person. I shake my head to clear the thoughts away before I dive too deeply into them. There's no point in wading through them when none of the answers are there. As for my regret, the same applies to the question. The reason I don't know my own regret is because I don't know myself well enough yet. I might be able to take pride in my own life once I learn my regret. But even if I don't make it through... No, scratch that. I know that I want to make it through. Reading Keiko's letter has helped me to finally find the resolve I need. I don't want to die without having... Oh, excuse me. I don't want to die without having fully understood myself. Should Keiko be eliminated tonight, I'll mail this letter the very next morning. That'll be my top priority. Once I make that decision, the day begins to wind down. Okay, I did promise I'd give you guys the elimination. Give me a brief minute. I am going to use the bathroom, but you guys won't even know, because what I'm going to be doing is just cutting this right off. And it'll just go run one right into the other. I'm getting better with shortcut. Folks, we're back. It should go without saying, but this is in the court of fate. Good evening, my lovely little slaves to fate. Oof. A voice rings throughout the court, clear as a bell. Parka arrives to greet the participants, her innocent smile and ongoing deception. She is devious, folks. Tonight brings with it the third round of Divine Selection. Things have been proceeding rather smoothly thus far, but will that remain the case for much longer? Beating around the bush seems to be your forte. You sure you're not just trying to sound mysterious by spouting random nonsense? Ooh! Oh, you certainly are brash. Whether or not that is the case is none of your business, I fear. Alan stares at numerals 2 as she talks with Parka. His gaze shifts between her and the girl beside her, numeral 1. He deduces that they are acquaintances, having noticed them conversing during the first night. Numeral 2 has proven to be far more wary than he imagined, with little to show from his information hunt on her. Meanwhile, Numeral 1 is willing to risk herself for the sake of another participant. Eliminating her should prove to be an easy task, he has no doubts about that, and yet he finds himself curious about her. She chose to stand in his way when he had Keiko covered. For reasons unknown even to him, the fire in her eyes back then was so... Very well then, allow us to begin tonight's election. Alan's train of thought is interrupted by the goddess's announcement. Realizing that such thoughts are but a hindrance, he focuses instead on the matter at hand. Isn't it supposed to be a selection, not an election? I didn't know any of them were running for office. Revolve, O Clock of Fate. The clock's movement signals the beginning of this night's election process. Oh yeah, okay. So they are electing people to be eliminated. All right, that's what it is. And it starts with numeral 1. The goddess claims that one's position on the dial provides neither advantage nor disadvantage, but Alan disagrees. Should two participants elect the same person, one can earn priority by revealing a card about oneself. However, the higher your numeral, the easier it is to prevent that situation from occurring. The only reason to take such a risk is when one knows that the person they plan to elect is in possession of a card one needs. To that effect, numeral 12, Alan feels that he has a significant advantage. Alan considers the idea that numeral 1 will opt to elect Keiko. Should she be in possession of all three of Keiko's cards, she could create a situation where both she and Alan elect Keiko. It would be a win-win situation for her, as it would result in either Keiko's survival or one of his personal cards being revealed. That's why he has no intention of electing Keiko should numeral 1 do so. The risk of being caught up in a simultaneous election far outweighs the benefit of gaining one of the cards Keiko possesses. He's well aware of his position within society, so he fully expects that Keiko has already discovered his name. It is likely that she's revealed his information to Numeral 1 as well. However, his name is the only thing she should have been able to find out about him. True. Should Numeral 1 have to eliminate Keiko, she will gain no new information about him. I have no one to elect. Numeral 1 passes on electing her. This comes as no surprise to Alan. In fact, the odds of this happening were far higher than the scenario he anticipated earlier. As the clock hand spins round, Numeral 11, who had elected someone last time, passes as well. That woman appears to be the one he is most wary of. It is plain to see that she's a far cry from ordinary, not only due to that body of hers, but also because of her attitude. For instance, she blows him a kiss as the clock hand slows to a halt in front of him. This speaks volumes about her character. I won't allow myself to be provoked. He mutters under his own breath, preventing anyone from hearing him. And you, good sir? I elect Numeral 8. He states his intention with apathy. In the next moment, the platform he stands on rumbles and begins to ascend. Both his and Keiko's platforms rise to the upper stratum. Don't get upset, folks. You know this was going to happen. You knew it was going to happen. The goddess appears before them there, her face contorted into a wry smile. Keiko's composure serves as a bit of surprise to Alan. It is hard to believe that she could be so composed after the despair she put on display when she obtained her name card. Much like Ro before her, he expected to hear some emotional wailing. Do proceed. This marks Alan's second time electing someone, so he is acquainted with the process. Once his cards have gathered in front of him, he only has to read out the relevant ones. But of all his current cards, those related to Ro have lost their glow. A rhyme. Her name is Keiko Kamabuchi. She died of a brain hemorrhage. Her cards react as he reads them aloud. Her regret is... Hey, you know what it's like to have a family, don't you? Her question interrupts his process. Don't speak to me. My son will live, so I'm not afraid of being eliminated. I didn't get to spend much time with him, but I'm still able to become a mother. Maybe I won't be able to name him, but I'm sure he'll grow up to be strong even without that. After all, a name only represents one's hopes. It can't change their nature. I'm sure your parents name you too. At the very least, quit involving anyone and everyone in your path of selfish destruction. Do it for your parents' sake. You mean to imply that one can do something for the sake of those who have passed? Death is the end of one's existence. Nothing follows it. That's why those who live should do everything they can for their sake and their sake alone. Alan finds himself infuriated by Keiko's words. His face may remain emotionless, but his eyes scream another story. I have no issue resorting to any means necessary, for my own sake and to protect what's important to me. I care not for the consequences of my actions, nor for the people caught up in them. It's just that simple. His tone is bitter, While her words have riled him up, he never allows his emotions to slip off his tongue. He feels that he's handled the situation in a controlled manner. However, Keiko offers him a smile before continuing. You're pushing yourself, aren't you? Your regret is your child's name. He says this to cut her off. Next, the three cards whose contents he spoke aloud float away from him. Once they reach the middle of the Court of Fate, they come together and form a triangular shape. Once in formation, they begin to emit a white light, one by one. Alan knows what comes next, so he closes his eyes and allows it to happen. The event took place in an intensive care unit. A nurse carried a sleeping newborn over to its mother. Its voice, that of an angel, its existence, the very concept of hope made flesh. One couldn't say for certain whether or not her final words were heard at all. Names do nothing but chain down those to whom they're attached. There is no hope to be garnered from them. That is the reason why Alan prefers to take name cards from those he eliminates. He is fully aware that regret cards are the most difficult to obtain. Regardless, he believes with full sincerity that names chain their bearers down, that one can come to understand another by knowing their name. Name. Regret. Cause of death. Name. So my name was known. However, sticking to his beliefs, he has already decided which card to take.
Keiko.
Numeral 11 returns to the court, having finished his election. He chose to take my name card. I knew it! I told you she was next! Of all the options he had, Alan Scorpion purposely took my name card. Purposefully, whatever. I mean, it's the same word, guys. Keiko likely had cause of death and regret cards as well, so he must have gone with me because he already met me in person. But I had the option of electing Keiko too. Had he still tried, I could have created a situation where either Keiko would survive or he would have to reveal one of his personal cards. But I noticed an inherent flaw in the numeral system because of that. I can say for sure that he never would have elected her if I had done so. Why did he go for your name? It'll be fine. Maharu glares at him. I'd likely do the same if he'd gone for her name. But I'm not glaring. I pierce him with my eyes instead. Not only do I already know his name, but we've already met, and he also knows the area I live in. It was only a matter of time before he found out my name. To my own surprise, I'm not shaking. His presence is as imposing as ever, but I can now stare him dead in the eyes without issue. It's my way of telling him, bring it on. The resemblance. Truly striking. I don't bother to ask what he means by that. I can't say for sure whether or not he's shouldering a story of his own, but right now I have zero desire to exchange words with him. Tonight's session resulted in one elimination. I bid you all farewell for now. Shortly after, Parker brings an end to tonight's round. That was it. I wake up feeling refreshed. I must have got a good night's sleep for the first time in a while. Keiko has been eliminated, but I don't feel sad about it, just empty. My eyes wander over to my table. Both the letter I received from Keiko and the one I had written are both there. However, when I get up and take a closer look at Keiko's letter, its contents have vanished. Her actions during divine selection as well as their effects have been erased. I next check my transcription of her letter and confirm that it remains intact. This proves that those eliminated will be remembered by other participants, but their actions at large will be undone. However, not all traces of her actions have been erased. The letter she gave me, still being here, proves that much. Had I been eliminated, chances are that my letter wouldn't have disappeared either, just what I had written on it. In other words, that goddess can't rewrite the world's events completely. That might explain why Naomi has a faint recollection of an event that is supposed to have been undone. Speaking of Naomi, I'm curious to learn how much she remembers about Keiko. I can't bring myself to ask her, though. I'd rather she remain as uninvolved as possible. Miharu, Naomi. I end up shouting their names without thinking. I can't help myself considering the circumstances. I grit my teeth and rush to get ready for school. Oh! I come across Naomi right as I arrive at the school gate. It's a bit awkward seeing her now after what happened last week. Regardless, I try to act as I usually would and say good morning to her. Good morning, I'm gonna start preparing for the culture festival today, so I have to come up with ideas for our signboard and decorations. Of course, I also plan on teaching everyone how to brew coffee. I can't say I'm too confident, but I'll do my best to teach them as well as you taught me. Promise me that you'll visit our room during the festival. Of course I will. I notice a remarkable difference she's made between Saturday and now. She seems to have changed her hairstyle as well. Did you switch to contact lenses? I did. I actually wanted to make the switch for a while now, so my glasses breaking gave me a great excuse to do so. After that exchange, we both made our way into the building separately. I can tell she's tiptoeing around what happened last week. Something else is on my mind all throughout the day at school. Has Keiko's son been born following her elimination? That's why I make my way to the hospital, figuring they will at least tell me that much. As it turns out, he has indeed been born. But at the same time, they inform me that Keiko passed away 3 weeks ago. With that knowledge gained, I take a seat in the lounge to collect myself. It's not easy to deal with learning that someone's died. Huh? When I sit down, a man wearing a suit and carrying a baby passes by. He must have just gotten examined. Excuse me. Turns out it's Keiko's husband. I've never spoken to him before, but I summon the courage to do so now. I don't want to keep him for too long, so the conversation only lasts around 5 minutes. His mother lives close by, he claims, so she's currently taking care of the baby. He left work early today since it needed an examination, though. He said he wants to do as much for the baby as he can. I was worried considering what Keiko had said about her mother-in-law wanting to give the baby a more trendy name, but she actually sounds like a nice lady. The baby's name, however, really takes me by surprise. Kamabuchi Haruki. Through some miracle, he's ended up being given the name that Keiko wanted him to have. Keiko must have told her husband about the reason behind her naming choice while she was still alive. The K in Keiko represents a type of olive plant in China as well as Japan's katsura trees. Her name is in reference to how pleasant smells are associated with sincerity. Not only that, but also because her parents wanted her to be as healthy and sturdy as a katsura tree. Having remembered that after Keiko's death, her husband told his mother that he wanted to decide on the baby's name himself. He wanted to give the child a name linked to trees, like his mother, but couldn't think of anything appropriate. Because he wanted his son to be straightforward and earnest, he decided to use the kanji for tree, and then add Haru at the beginning since the child was born in spring, thus Haruki. I think back to what Keiko had written in her letter. I never was as healthy and sturdy as I'd hoped, but the desire to be so remained in my heart until the very end. Names represent a parent's hopes and... Names represent a parent's hopes and dreams for their child, so please, treasure the name you've been given. I make my way back to Lion House once our conversation ends. I can't sit and twiddle my thumbs anymore. From here on out, I need to act with dignity. Three days have now passed since Keiko's elimination. In terms of information, I'm at a bit of a standstill. I planned on doing more research on Alan, but finding the time has proven difficult, considering I can't just close the store. Time isn't the only issue either. There's also the fact that I just plain suck at doing proper research. I'm aware that I can't let things go on like this. Right. I decide to close the store and head to the library for a bit today. I can look for business reports and interviews that involve him, maybe. I have to force myself not to consider how much easier it would be if Naomi were with me. After closing up the store and before going to the library, I come across an unexpected scenario. A lone girl is lying on the pavement. Looks like she's passed out. I don't know what to do on this one, guys. But let's make a save just in case. We're on save 2. Page 2. Let's talk to her. She may be important. Excuse me. I tap her on her shoulder and call out to her with concern in my voice. Huh? She reacted to my voice, so I know she's conscious at least. At first, I thought I'd have to call an ambulance, but it looks like there's no need. After a while, she turns to look at me. I feel myself turn pale as her face is revealed by the sunlight. I've seen her 3 times, not just anywhere, but in the dream world, at the Court of Fate. This is numeral 10. Why are you here? Don't tell me you know my name as well. If that's the case, this is bad. It would have meant I spent too much time on things other than divine selection. I was so caught up in investigating Alan that I forgot all about the other participants. Okay, this one, I'm gonna choke on a little bit, guys. My name is Sophia Preisnitz Alexievna? Sophia Preisnitz Alexievna. I don't know. She says it's way too long, so call me Sonia, and I will. She doesn't even stand up to introduce herself. Are you alright? Like, in the head? I insult her almost out of instinct. But can you blame me? No participant should just introduce themselves like that. I have a request. I say nothing, so she keeps on going. I must ask that you please... give me food, for I cannot move in my current state. She asks for a meal in a very stilted manner of speaking. Based on the blonde hair and blue eyes, I presume she's from Russia or somewhere in Northern Europe. She shouldn't be able to understand or speak Japanese without the aid of her card book either. However, unlike Alan, there are noticeable flaws in her language fluency. I don't even have my book on me right now, which must mean... Do you understand Japanese? Yes, I love Japan lots. I'm sorry, but my hunger is almost at its limit. I will lose my ability to speak in approximately 5 seconds. Whoa, hold on! She shuts her mouth after dropping that bombshell as if her battery has run out of juice. I do feel sorry for her, so I end up taking her to a nearby family restaurant. There's plenty to eat at Lion House, but letting another participant in probably isn't the smartest course of action. Thus, I brought her here instead. I'm shocked to learn that she seems to have told the truth about her name. I checked my book before leaving, and lo and behold, I obtained a new card. She hasn't uttered a single word about her food-related shutdown, so I order her some spaghetti bolognese and Salisbury steak. What the fuck is spaghetti bolognese? I need to look that up, I guess. But, it's interesting, that she would go back and check, because people can lie. But she went to check her card book just to make sure that she'd got a new card, because that girl could have lied. She could have said her name was anything, and that was a weird fucking name. But it was her name. So I'm glad that Reika actually fucking checked that shit. Rinka, rather. Yeah. Main character's name is Rinka in this one. Those seem like safe bets for someone her age. When the food does arrive, Sonya's body shoots up straight as an arrow. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. That's probably not what she actually said in Japanese, but yeah, whatever. I thought you were unable to speak. She ignores my reaction and proceeds to dig in. I figure she'll go hog wild, but nope. She takes the time to wrap the pasta around her foot. The pasta, not the past. The pasta, wrapping the pasta around her fork. No. We're not trying to ad-lib this too much. To wrap the pasta around her fork, she even uses a knife and fork to cut the Salisbury steak. Which is good shit. I don't know if some of you guys have had that, but I used to eat Salisbury steak all the fucking time. Usually it comes in a microwave dinner thing. Those things are fucking good. I'm sorry, if you're hungry, they're fucking good. They're probably not good for you, but they're fucking good. She even finishes off all the corn that comes on the side without issue. What's more, she eats all the pasta without splashing any sauce. Hard to believe that someone who just collapsed from hunger should be such a dainty eater. That's not Japanese food, is it? Delicious! Japanese food is truly exquisite. Thank you for saving me from death by starvation. Now I'm starting to believe she might be Russian. You know, the whole communism thing. Like, oh, my great-grandparents, they survived starvation. Oh, man. I'm pretty sure we were told that we can't die outside of being eliminated. I wonder what would have happened if I ignored her. No point in thinking about it, I guess. Chances are someone else would have done the same thing I did. The big city might be somewhat heartless, but I doubt people would be willing to ignore a child who had collapsed on the street. Now that you're... Now that you're revitalized, it's time to tell me all about you. Call me Sonya! Also, I apologize for the blunt request, but... Oh, looks like she can use some more difficult words after all. I brought my book along, and her bag looks like it can fit hers, so right now, we should both have them with us. Despite that, her stilted speech remains. She really must be speaking Japanese all on her own. If she were speaking Russian, then the book would translate it into fluent Japanese for me. It seems that I happen to still be hungry. Could I mayhap order something else? Mayhap. I haven't seen that fucking word in a while. I am about to say no, and that she's had enough, but then she unleashes the sad puppy dog eyes on me. No, don't you do it! People really do take advantage of Rinka. They do! She's a kind-natured girl that works at a coffee shop, and everybody's like, well, but, you know, can you please help me? And... They always kind of walk on Rinka. She gets a lot of shit, you know? Ah, fine, but only something small, okay? I heave a sigh after checking my purse. I wish I knew why I'm being this kind to another participant. Wow, there's so much here. She struggles to contain her excitement at the menu options. This is my first time coming to a family restaurant. There's so much that I don't know what to choose. From Western to Japanese to Chinese. They even have borscht! Now I think I'm curious about Japan's take on my homeland's food. Your wording sure gets weird sometimes, so I take it you're Russian? I am. Technically, borscht is from Ukraine, but it's also a Russian cuisine staple. How can you be this excited over a family restaurant then? I'm fairly sure they exist in Russia as well. I rarely get to leave the house, you see. Also, I've decided I will have the negatorodon, oyakodon, oyakodon, and katsudon. Not going for the borscht, huh? Hang on, are you sure about this? You're gonna get a ton of rice. Wait, no, I don't remember saying you could get three more entrees. Am I not allowed? She tilts her head and rubs her stomach. Oh, good God. Come on, Rinka. Don't fall for it. That girl's gonna eat you out of house and home, and your wallet is gonna have no money. You're gonna open up your purse, and your purse is like, hey, you got $5? It's like, your purse is gonna be asking for money. It's like, open a purse. Hey, Rinka, you got $5 I can borrow? Yeah, it's gonna be that kind of thing. She tilts her head and rubs her stomach. Ah, don't do it. Just make sure you eat all of it. Sonya watches with starry eyes as I press the buzzer that summons one of the wait staff. Guess she's never seen that either. I can't help but sigh in disbelief at how big of a pushover I am while she happily eats her bowls of food. I really am an easy target, aren't I? It could all be a part of her plan, too. Yep. She uses the fact that she's a kid to lure me into a false sense of security, and then takes, advantage of it to get all sorts of info out of me. Granted, I don't get that impression from her whatsoever, especially when she's the one who revealed her own information to me, but that could be part of her plan as well. I sigh again, this time in regards to how confusing this whole situation is. Ugh, my head hurts. Phew, now I'm stuffed. Thank you for the food. She's cleaned out all three bowls without skipping a beat. You can use chopsticks too? She's a Russian weeb. Yes, I love Japan, so I studied lots about its culture and language. I am aware that Japan is the land of samurai and magical girls. It would be my pleasure to meet them someday. Incidentally, my young miss. Okay, stop. You're definitely not calling me that. I can't tell you my name either, so how about sis? Very well, sister. I have another request to make of you. I decide not to bother pointing out that I told her to just use sis.
この流れだとデザート?
I'm guessing your request is for some dessert? Fine, but promise me we'll talk once you're done. Yes, I promise. Oh, let me press the button though. She ends up getting both a parfait and a cake for dessert.
Damn.
Wow, it's like a bottomless pit. How could she fit all that into her tiny body? Watching her eat makes me want to get something for myself, so I order a small parfait. Delish. It's starting to look like Goku's bowls. You might remember, like, oh yeah, we got all this food, and then there's like just bowls piled high. More, please! What? She gives me a thorough review of her dessert after obliterating it. I'm amazed she finishes both of hers before I do mine, even if I'm taking it slow. That should be enough, right? I make it obvious that it's time for her to talk. She may be a kid, but this is still a negotiation. I give her food in exchange for her telling me what's going on, why she was collapsed outside Lion House, and why she revealed her name so readily. Very well. There's no way in fuck I'm saying that again. Way too long, so call me Sonya. Yeah, we did that part already. Your reactions are fun, sister. Are you messing with me? But your voice is also scary. What do you mean, also? What else about me is scary? Your face. I thought you looked scary from the moment I first saw you. So she says with a bright and beaming smile. In all honesty, I'm aware that I can look pretty scary at times, but being told that to my face kinda hurts. Right, that's enough of changing the subject. I'm sorry. I just wanted to talk more because you're a kind person, but that was perhaps rude of me. Not to worry though, the next participant to be eliminated will be me. Sus! Everything is sus right now. Totally fucking sus. I'm not buying this shit. She keeps her smile, but something about her looks sad when she says that. It takes me a moment to process her words despite the obvious meaning behind them. I'm not sure how this situation has come about. We're in the middle of the big city, so naturally the place is crowded. There are plenty of customers waiting to be seated. In other words, the staff kindly asks us to leave after a while, even though we are in the middle of a conversation. I still haven't fully digested what she means either. That's why. Wow, this is a very nice store. I end up taking Sonya with me back to Lion House. It's the only place I can think of where we're able to sit down and talk. Sonya looks like a middle school student at best, so I doubt much harm can come from this. There's also the fact that the police might have stopped us somewhere. Hard to avoid suspicion when a girl in her school uniform is walking around with a foreign child at night. It's a kitty cat! Something's gonna happen with that cat. You really do know some random words. Didn't realize you were here, Leth. Feels like I haven't seen Leth in a while, actually. I know it's been fine, since it still makes sure to eat the food I'd leave out for it. Cat's doing what cats do. Let's just find somewhere to fucking sleep and hide. Cats really don't really... I mean, as a cat owner for several years, I can just tell you, cats, like, they're chill at sometimes, and then they're just like, you know what? I'm not even gonna tell you where I'm at. Like, I'm not even gonna make my presence known. I'll come out when I'm ready, and you better pay attention to me when I come out. And then I'm going back in, and you're not even gonna know where I'm at. Nobody needs to know where I'm at. And I do what I do, and that's just how I am. Cats are, like, totally fucking independent. They're, like, on another plane of reality, as I've heard. I know it's been fine since it still made sure to eat the food I leave out for it. Okay, we got that part. She says, meow meow, Japan's cats are just as cute as I read about. Look, Pasazir. What the fuck is, I don't know what that is. Pasazir, it's a cat. Yeah. And the cat meows, of course. Pasazir is in reference to Sonya's stuffed animal. Okay. It's one of those small plushies you find in toy stores. They fit nicely into your hand. The one's a bear. This one's a bear, so it might be appropriate to call it a teddy bear. Sonya's poking and prodding left with it. It scratched me up if I tried to do the same considering its personality, but right now it's sitting back and taking it despite its obvious displeasure. I wonder if it realized it's dealing with a child. Oh well, let me get some milk for you. And some for me too. Yeah, hold your horses. At least I can go about things at my leisure since we're in my house. I place Sonya's chair on the table and Leth's bowl underneath. Once she sits down, I take the seat across from her. Leth wastes no time in diving into the milk once finally free of Sonya's grasp. I guess it really didn't enjoy that experience. Let's continue where we left off. She places both of her hands on the glass and takes a sip. You can tell that she was raised to be a proper lady based on how she handles things like that. I thought the same back at the family restaurant. I nod as a means to urge her to continue. She almost seems like a different person compared to how she was messing around with Leth. I meant what I said. You believe me, yes? That's why you brought me here. I will tell you all about me. But first, I would like to know, please, why did you believe me? Let's see, there's not much for you to gain by saying that after revealing your name to me. That plus, it didn't seem like you were fishing for info on me. It's not like I trusted her out of instinct. And certainly not because she's a kid. That's why I took a detour on our way back here. There could have been someone following us in the off chance that she's cooperating with other participants, so I wanted to make sure of that first. Sorry to say this, but I don't flat out trust you. Logic only dictates that you weren't lying. I only trust in myself. Despite your appearance, you are a kind person. You could have left that first part out. Just as we were about to get into the thick of it, Leth meows and lies down underneath the table. I assume it feels satisfied after having its milk. Sonya watches it curl up with a smile on her face. We had a cat at my house too.
なかったでありますから。猫と本とインターネットと、そして
I was always too ill to leave, so it was one of my few friends. The others were books, the internet, and Pasa's ear. Yes. Yes, you can see my cause of death was an illness. I can go into further detail if you wish. That's alright. I'd rather hear more about you. Keep going. While not enough to create a new card, I still opt to listen to her life story instead. The fact that she's telling me this means she's fine with revealing her cause of death. She really is convinced that she'll be the next person eliminated, but why? Much like you, divine selection has given me another brief chance to live my life. I told Papa and Mama about it, and they became convinced when they realized that I was feeling much better than usual. However, my condition will likely be that way, be the way it was before, even if I do survive these 12 weeks. I won't make it much longer either way. So you don't think surviving would also cure you of your condition? Yes, that is what I believe. That's why I don't mind losing. So long as I can experience as much of the outside world during this time that I can, I'm happy. From what I learned about the world at home, Japan caught my interest the most. That's why I wanted to explore its culture, not the ninja and samurai, but Japan as it is now. I was rather excited when I obtained my card book. Japan's anime holds a special place in my heart, and in one magical girl anime, the girl transformed and fought using a book and cards similar to these. Not being able to experience the outside world is my regret. That's why I want to do so now. Her words trigger my own book lighting up, creating a new card. Sonya smiles when she sees that happen, but unlike her smile in the family restaurant, there is an echo of sadness within it. Her childlike innocence clashes heavily with her mature realization that she's just come a step closer to being eliminated. After observing the situation for a while, we finally decided to take a family trip to Japan together. Papa and Mama may forget about our trip once I'm eliminated, but at the very least, I wanted to make the most of my remaining time.
何かあったんだね。
You're alone right now, so I assume something happened with them.
はい。その通りであります。
Yes, that's right.
ソーニャたちが様子見をしていた間に、ソーニャの使命のカードを持っている人は、ソーニャたちの行動を見張っていたみたいなのでありました。
While we were observing the situation, those with my name card were also watching us.
空港に着いてタクシーに乗ったのですが、それこそが罠でした。
They had set a trap for us the moment we landed by means of our taxi.
罠?
A trap?
はい。選定の参加者さんでありました。パパとママを殺されたくなければ情報を教えろ、そういう脅しをされてしまったのであります。
Yes, they posed as taxi drivers and threatened to kill Papa and Mama if I didn't tell them all my information. The worst possible situation springs to mind when I hear that. It sounds exactly like something Alan Scorpion would do.
その人って12の男の人だった。
Was numeral 12 involved by chance?
家であります。
No. Her denial only serves to worry me more. All it means is that there are others willing to resort to the same methods as him.
2人組でした。3番の男の人と11番の女の人です。
It was numeral 3 and numeral 11. Those two are working together.
その二人が…
Oh, those two!
会ったことありましたですか?
Have you met them before? I shake my head in response. Numeral 3, Federico Carminati, remember him? Ended up with his name card during the initial distribution.Having seen him in the dream world multiple times, I know he's tall and slender. As for numeral 11, she's the one responsible for eliminating numeral 7. Much like Alan, her eyes are as frigid as they come. Those two working together definitely comes as a surprise. I figured I would have the advantage against numeral 3 because I have his name card, but if he's with her, that's no longer the case. Realizing that I've interrupted her, I apologize and wait for her to pick up where she left off.I told them everything to save Papa and Mama, but the man said it wasn't enough. He wanted to know about the other cards I held, too.
ソーニャは11番の方のカードを持っていたであります。
I happen to have...
だから、いたであります。
I happen to have one of numeral 11's cards, her regret card. Really? Oh wow, what does she regret?So I looked her in the eye and said that I could tell him, but it would lead to bad results for them. I expected her to get angry, but she just laughed. I bet she did. Damn, she's got more guts than that old geezer despite her age. That's what I'm talking about.I can't believe Sonya threatened me, you know? Jeez, if she wants to see the world, maybe I'll let her after showing that kind of bravado. Say what you will, but I like this kid. Numeral 11 was apparently full of cheer as she praised Sonya for a rebellious act. She had a condition, though. Sonya wasn't allowed to be with her parents until her last day, as a means to prevent them from trying anything.So long as she did that, they were willing to both spare her parents and let her do as she pleased.
そんなの勝手な条件だ。 ニャのためじゃない。女の人が情報を知られたことを察したから、ミレンと顔を手がかりにソーニャたちが情報を集めるのを防いだだけ。
Oh, come on. She just wanted to prevent you from using her face and regret as a means to get more information on her. Oops, sorry for shouting out of nowhere. While your voice may sound scary, I know that your words are kind. Not many would get angry for the sake of someone they need to eliminate. Well, as long as Papa and Mama are safe, I'm okay. Besides, like I said, I wouldn't live for long regardless. Have you acknowledged your own death then? What do you mean acknowledged? Well? Do you feel it's gonna happen, no matter what? Yes, I have. Even before divine selection began, I knew I would die as soon as I found out about my condition. That might explain the sadness in her smile earlier. I'm not sure whether the doctors or her parents told her, but she's likely been informed of how long she has to live multiple times. But just by looking at her, I can tell that she's been raised with love. However, her inevitable death has probably been looming over her head ever since she found out. Just because she knows and has accepted her death doesn't mean she isn't scared to face it, of course. It must have been tough for you. I pat her head. I should have learned with Keiko that getting attached to other participants is dangerous, and yet I can't stop myself. Sonya likely gave up on her life and chose to act like she's fine for the sake of her parents and those around her. I refuse to believe that she's truly accepted it, though. Her expression right now proves it to me. I knew what was in store for me a long time. I knew what was in store for me for a long time, so I told myself that things weren't tough. But now, I'm not so sure. I don't have the means to provide her with true salvation. I do feel for her, though. No one should have to go through what she has at such a young age, but I can't give my own life in exchange. I can't forget that I just met her today, too. We're not even friends. And yet, for some reason, I'm racking my brain for her sake. This entire time, she's been wearing a peculiar expression on her face. She likely doesn't truly understand her feelings yet. Not that I can blame her. I'm in the same boat. Les has disappeared at some point during our chat. The light reflects off its empty milk bowl, casting a strong shadow. I spend the rest of my time just patting Sonya's head. So Sonya's with us now? Okay, and with that, I think we're gonna go ahead and end it here. I gave you guys more than what we normally do. And if I took a short break during the little conversation, it's because Groupies just announced an anime games bundle. That is, let's see here, guys. Because I know you guys like games, anime. Well, when they say anime games, you know what they mean, right? They used to call it a roge, but apparently the payment processors flipped. So they had to call it anime games, but it is a roge. And it is uncensored. I don't know about mosaics, but I mean it will have the H scenes. basically, there is 6 games. And of course, if you pay 13, you'll get the Aroge bundle, which has some cool stuff in it. So definitely go ahead and grab that. But this one's going to go for 14 days, guys. And you do get Kira Kira Star's Idol Project Reika, which, yeah, is a pretty big one. Night Slave, Dark Valkyrie of Depravity, Dark Sphere, Magical Girl Foul, Escape from the School, and Ren the Summoner in the Erotic Dungeon. Now, most of these are RPG Maker games. That is the thing. You can go DL site right now. You're going to find more of them than anything else. That's what Japan's playing when it comes to Aroge. They like their visual novels, but fucking, for some odd reason, guys, the RPG Maker just took off in Japan. So a lot of this stuff is there, and it's translated for the most part, should be. If it's not, like, it's not that hard to understand, it's probably going to be very straightforward. And I can play these. A matter of fact, guys, I did plan on playing these. Not just visual novels, because, like, again, there's 50 million other people that do that. Only problem with these is, like, the H scenes. Like, I'd have to start doing a lot more cutting, because the H scenes just come in the form of, it's a little different. It's not like so much of a CG. It's kind of sprites and stuff like that. So it's going to be a little more difficult to edit. But I can definitely play these as well, so you guys can kind of get a feel for those. But hey, we're going to bring you more Fatal 12 because it's getting interesting. I did bring you the elimination. I brought you the Sonya stuff. Things are getting really interesting, especially now that she knows that 11 and 3 are working together. Which we knew. We knew, but she didn't. So that's kind of interesting. Oh, and keep in mind, she has Eleven's regret, which I want to know. How can a woman like that regret anything but going to the gym, not going to the gym more? You know, I don't know. Like, it's like, I regret that I'm not built like Arnold or something. Like, she's damn near close, though, folks. She's getting there. Anyway, this is the Grim Lord, and I am out of here. Later.